JT live in Vegas.
From the Las Vegas Strip right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college.
LeBron.
We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
JT with you, out of the gate, good to have you. Big night tonight on a Friday night in Vegas. NBA Summer League is underway. It was down there today, got my credential, watched the game, saw the Pacers and the Rockets. The place is absolutely packed. Incredible. I'm so into this as we come to you courtesy of Golden Entertainment, the home of PTs and the Super Happy Hour from 5 to 7 p.m. and from midnight to 2 a.m. Golden Entertainment also owns the Stratosphere, now Arizona Charlie's, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar right here, right up the road from me on Flamingo and the 215. Eric Musselman, head coach of Nevada, will join us here in about 6 or 7 minutes. He's a former NBA coach of two teams. I wanted to talk to him about the summer of LeBron. To me, when I think of Coach Musselman, I think of him as an NBA coach. I go back with him that far. And how about the job he did with Nevada this year on that run that they had in the NCAA tournament? And he's been tweeting, he's been talking about what's happening in the NBA. And we'll get into that with him coming up. Steve Fezzik, the only two-time winner of the Super Contest, will join us about 20 after. And then one of the famed super fans in all of sports, Clipper Darrell. If you know who Clipper Darrell is, you know who I'm talking about. If not, he'll join us later. He's the most famous Clipper fan of all time, and he's very outspoken. And reports are that he's getting pulled towards LeBron and his Clipper fandom back to LeBron. Will he put down the gauntlet today that he will be a Clipper fan forever? He's good on the radio. He'll be a lot of fun. He'll join us here sometime around 4:40. The big news today in the NBA is Carmelo Anthony is getting bought out by the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he'll be moving on. Now, as we know, we're living in the era of the super team. I think Carmelo Anthony's a hell of a player. Sorry, I do. Carmelo Anthony was a great player. He won a national championship at Syracuse, and he's been one of the highest paid players in NBA history and one of the great scorers in NBA history. Now, is he getting better? No, he's not getting better. Is he past his prime? Absolutely. But can he help out a super team? Can he give you 18 points to 22 points off the bench every single game? Absolutely. Where are we at a point in time in the NBA where we can't get Carmelo Anthony on a deep discount at $5 million, say, after he's bought out? And the next thing you know, you got Carmelo coming off the bench, or Carmelo in your starting five. Now, he's not a great defender, and he's a guy who doesn't move the basketball well. But he's been considered one of the greatest Olympic teammates in NBA basketball. Olympics. He plays at the Olympic level and gets gold medals at the Olympics. He's got a national championship in college, and his resume is packed in the NBA with all these all-star appearances. I like this topic for me because it's a bigger topic than Carmelo Anthony. The topic becomes, what do legends do near the end of their career, when they can still be productive, but all of us believe that they need to be superstars? We have to remind ourselves that what Tom Brady is doing isn't real. What LeBron James is doing is not real. It is very rare that guys at the end of their career tend to slow down, but we don't want to see guys be backups. We want to see Tom Brady retire after winning a Super Bowl. We want to see LeBron go out on top, Michael Jordan go out on top. Why won't these superstars just go to the bench and instead of playing 35 minutes, play 22? I call it the Andre Iguodala effect. Andre Iguodala is a great player. He became a role player and a bench player for the Golden State Warriors and has won 3 championships and an NBA Finals MVP. So if you look at all that, that's what Carmelo Anthony has to do. He's got to follow the road of Andre Iguodala. He's got to be the guy that goes out and says, you know, I'm going to be a team guy I'm going to come off the bench, and I'm going to give you the production you need and the experience that you need to go out and win. And if he can do that, that would be tremendous. That would be tremendous if he can do that. Now, can Carmelo Anthony do that? I think he can. If he can't do it, then forget everything I'm saying. If he can't do it, then forget it. But I'm okay with Carmelo Anthony. There's two choices for him. Two choices. He goes to the Houston Rockets, or he goes to the LA Lakers. Those are the two opportunities. I don't see anything else other than that. And if we got to the point where we're nuts, where we're going to be spinning on sports radio and on TV, that Carmelo Anthony's a cancer to a team, he's not a good teammate, he's not a great player, Carmelo Anthony is a first ballot Hall of Famer with still everything to prove, but he goes into the category, in my mind, as a ring chaser. Boogie Cousins is a ring chaser. Kevin Durant is a ring chaser. The king of chasing rings is LeBron. He conveniently goes from city to city, looking for the best opportunity. Well, why wouldn't Carmelo Anthony do that? We'll get into that topic with the head coach of Nevada. What a run his team had throughout the Mountain West and especially in the NCAA tournament. A former NBA head coach, and he joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Coach, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me on, JT.
Coach, Summer League started off today. I thought of you. I wanted to get you on the show because we're now in an era of ring chasing, and guys are chasing rings on the back end of their careers. First off, the summer of LeBron James. Were you surprised he opted out at Cleveland? Did you expect that? And do you think he's a good fit on a four-year deal with the Lakers?
Well, from the Lakers' perspective, obviously in L.A. you need star power names, and so from their organization, it's an absolute home run. And obviously, Magic Johnson came out prior to that signing and made a statement that that he was going to get somebody in the next 24 months. And not only have they gotten him, but I think next year they'll get another guy. I don't know if they'll be able to get someone else this year other than James, but they have a nice core nucleus of young guys, and now you add a superstar player that commands a double team and sometimes a triple team, and I think those complementary players for the Lakers will be able to accelerate their growth as players. And then from the James perspective and him doing it, you know, it's really, really interesting because I don't think anybody knew what he was going to do except he and his family, and probably from Cleveland's perspective, they're a little bit shocked at what took place. But I think for James, looking at it internally, you know, he probably realized that it was going to really, really be hard to win a championship in Cleveland with the roster makeup of where they are. And you think about the number of coaches that have coached James in Cleveland, and then you think about even from an upper management changeovers, from guys like Chris Grant to the current to David Griffin. They've had a lot of guys, both as coaches and management, and have struggled, especially this year, to come up with complementary pieces that fit. And not that James, he knows he's not going to win a championship with the current makeup of the Lakers, but he's now in a media mecca where he can do his outside stuff, that's not necessarily basketball. He has a son that's going to be able to play somewhere, that probably makes sense for his growth as a player. And so I think for all those reasons, it probably is not a surprise to people that he ended up in L.A. And then you see how quickly the decision was made. And obviously he probably knew that for some time.
Eric Musselman's our guest. Now, Coach, it's interesting. You talk about the development of those young players on the Lakers. Kuzma, no doubt about Brandon Ingram. And Lonzo Ball, whose dad makes a lot of noise, but some of those players, two out of them, maybe possibly one, would have to be moved in a blockbuster Kawhi Leonard deal if the Lakers and Magic don't want to wait until Kawhi becomes an unrestricted free agent. You've been behind the scenes at the highest level of the NBA. How difficult of a deal will that be for Magic doing business with Greg Popovich, as Pop doesn't want to help the Lakers get better?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, any team, you know, you never want to make a trade in conference. You certainly don't want to help a organization you think potentially, you can meet in the playoffs. Having said that, you've got to make the decision that really is in the best interest of your team, regardless of conference. And so, you know, San Antonio, if in fact they move Leonard, it's going to have to be for the best pieces that they can get back, whether it's veteran players, young players, or draft picks, or a combination of any of them. And if a Western Conference opponent is the organization that offers the best deal, you have to take that deal, regardless of who you're dealing with. Having said that, I mean, this is a complicated situation because of injury involved and player and organization. Where are they? Are they on the same page? Are they not on the same page? And then you add in the fact that there's 1 year left on the contract, and so there's a lot of moving parts to the Kawhi Leonard situation.
Eric Musselman joins us, head coach of Nevada. Coach, Carmelo Anthony, that's the big news today on the potential buyout from Oklahoma City. I think he's a brilliant player. What he did at Syracuse for the national championship, what he's done internationally at the Olympics, where he's thought to be a great teammate, and then his Hall of Fame numbers offensively in the NBA are really elite. Why is it so difficult for us, the fans especially, to understand that at the end of a career, a player has to take probably a step down and become a backup, or maybe he goes from playing 35 minutes to 23 minutes. Do you believe Carmelo can do this and have a great legacy on the back end of his career if he ends up with Houston or the Lakers, or if he ring chases and he doesn't have to be the elite superstar, he can just be a teammate like Andre Iguodala developed as a Warrior?
Yeah, and you look at a guy like Iguodala right now, JT, and he probably is as happy as he's ever been in his career, although, you know, when he was at Philly, he was putting up bigger numbers and making all-star teams. But winning, playing with a good group of guys certainly changes your perspective. And there's no doubt that Carmelo Anthony in college, you know, was phenomenal in a short, limited amount of time, helped his team win. And then you talk about the international play with Team USA. He's been as good as any player on Team USA, from a FIBA standpoint, but really in the NBA, at this juncture of his career, not a great defender, does not react to loose balls or doesn't react when the ball's in the air, a great isolation scorer, a guy who can put points on the board in a hurry would be a perfect role coming off the bench. And you look at a guy like Tony Parker, he's going to have to probably play a lesser role and accept that. And you know, you go way back in time, you think about what Bob McAdoo did when he went to the Lakers and how he sacrificed towards the end of his career and how he was an integral part of a lot of games being won. And I think that, you know, there's certainly a place for Carmelo, and he can be, I think he can be a fabulous player and can score in short spurts. And he's not probably a 35-minute-a-night player anymore on a playoff caliber team, and those minutes are going to have to shrink, but you hope that while the minutes shrink, the productivity per minute increases.
Wrapping it up with Eric Musselman on Fox Sports Radio. Finally, Coach, you grew up a coach's son. You're a great coach now. Your kids mean everything to you. What lessons did you learn when it comes to family on that great run that you had in the NCAA tournament? Because not only did you embrace every moment, your family, your kids were on the court, you were locking in with your players' parents and all that. I really think from knowing you as long as I have, you saw how big that moment is. You know, it's kind of a one-and-done scenario. You can get knocked out at any time, and there's enormous pressure to advance. How did you take that all in, and what did you learn from it?
Well, I think the big thing is, you know, because I've coached at so many different levels, I've been fired before, you know, was at the NBA level, out of basketball for 3 years doing media, got back into the D-League, coached overseas in Venezuela and Dominican Republic with their national team. And I guess as I've gotten older, it's all about the players. How do the players have as much fun? How do you teach them life lessons? And then obviously, when you are a coach, the people who sacrifice the most are your family. So I have two sons that have sacrificed me missing high school games when we've been traveling on the road or when I've been out of the country coaching a national team. And I have a wife that sacrifices every single day when you're not home for dinner and you're out recruiting. And same thing with my daughter, Mariah. And it was probably the greatest 2.5 week time span that I've ever had as a coach. The stakes get higher. The popularity of the sport of college basketball while the NCAA tournament is second to none. It's better than any NBA playoff situation. And so what we decided as a family and as a program is we were going to embrace it. The minute we heard our name called on Selection Sunday, we knew we were playing the Texas Longhorns. We gathered the team up. We told them and their families, we want you to have as much fun as you possibly can, but we're going to grind in our preparation. But after wins, we're going to celebrate. And when the thing was over, whenever it was going to be over for us, we would also celebrate that time, because just to make the tournament is a really, really tremendous opportunity for everybody to embrace a long college basketball season.
Fabulous. I just love watching it and knowing you as long as we've known you here on Fox Sports Radio. We're all pulling for you. Coach, thanks for some perspective on the summer of LeBron. When it's over, we'll connect and we'll talk about your great team going forward. Thank you.
That sounds great, JT. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. There he is, Eric Musselman. What a great guy. And you learn a lot about that. And on a different level, and not the level that Coach is going through, I'm going through that level. I have two sons in high school who are playing local football, and I can't go to their games all the time. I can't travel with them because the schedule, what I'm doing, and the sacrifice you have to make. And you have a good partner, you have a good wife who can pick it up and be there for the kids. I noticed that with Coach Musselman, because he's a coach's son, and now the way that he put his family, his wife and kids, front and center during the NCAA tournament, I really enjoyed that. He's a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he's a guy who didn't get a chance to coach a super team. What would we be saying about Eric Musselman? I think of him as a great guy, great human being, friend. But if he didn't coach the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors when they were no good, it goes to show you he's an excellent coach, and he coached some teams that really had struggles because they didn't have a super team. They didn't have three all-stars. And that's the era we're in now. How'd you like to be a coach in the NBA now? Going up against a team and you don't have a super team. You know you're only going to have a shelf life of 3 to 4 years if you can't get a Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you can't find a way to get Anthony Davis or keep Anthony Davis, because it seems like we're going through the Celtics and Lakers all over again on top of a better team than all of them in Golden State with the Warriors, and everybody else is trying to lock up. We're giving away tickets to Marshawn Lynch's party tonight. So here's how this works. We're giving away four packs. If you want to give us a call, 876-1340 on sports. We'd appreciate that more than just dialing a phone number looking for free tickets. But if you don't want to call and you want some free tickets, we're giving away a couple of four packs. Tonight, it's at Chateau, right on the strip there at Paris, right at the mid-level. Marshawn Lynch's party tonight. You'll be on the guest list to get in, 876-1340. But if you can't go, do not call. If you can go and you want to have a great time tonight with Beast Mode and what should be one of the biggest parties on the strip, we got you hooked up at 876-1340. But a better phone call maybe moves you up on that VIP list. Maybe gets you going a bit. We're brought to you by Henderson Hyundai, the superstore on Boulder Highway in Henderson, where the value is there every minute of the day. From an elite sales staff to great customer appreciation, an owner who loves this town and loves the sports teams. If you're looking for a deal, pre-owned or a new car, go to the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. That's Boulder Highway in Henderson. Coming up next, the only winner, two-time winner of the Super Contest. The best contest in all of gaming. Steve Fezzik will join us on what's changed since we talked to him last time. LeBron's a Laker. Carmelo's out of Oklahoma City. Kawhi's still out there, and how the odds are changing in the NBA. And the odds are changing quickly in the NBA every day. But everybody's chasing the Golden State Warriors. JT the Brick Show on Fox.
Michael Jordan, anybody they want, they still ain't gonna win with this team right here. Lakers with LeBron.
You don't give my son the best player in the game, don't think he gonna win no championship.
I got no problem with that. He's a dad, got his kid to UCLA into the Lakers, and now his kid, if he doesn't get traded away, will play with the great LeBron James. JT, back with you. It's great to talk to Steve Fezzik, the only two-time winner of the Super Contest. They have the new Dream Preview podcast on LeBron James to L.A. And Fez, I want to spend most of the time with that before we get to the specific odds. What jumped out at you from a gaming perspective and obviously as a fan with the LeBron move?
Well, as a fan, you have to absolutely love it. David Stern, former commissioner, once said his ideal NBA Finals every year would be Lakers versus Lakers. And I agree. As a fan, Showtime to L.A., absolutely loving it. As a better JT, I am kicking myself not having played Golden State to win the title. I could have gotten them plus 130 just 1 week ago.
So that brings us, are you kicking yourself because of the Boogie Cousins move or LeBron or a combination of all that?
More the LeBron going to the Lakers really helps Golden State because, let's face it, Houston, Philly, Boston all became viable champions with LeBron going to their cities. But when he went to L.A., although the Lakers get put into the mix there, none of those teams are even in the same area code power rating-wise versus Golden State, and then maybe they get better with Boogie, maybe they don't.
I believe, we're talking to Steve Fezzik. Steve, I think this Carmelo Anthony move is big, and I'm a Carmelo fan, and I have his stats in front of me. He's going to give you, depending on the minutes, 20 to 24 a night on the back end of his career, but he's an isolationist. The ball doesn't move once it gets to him. He already played with D'Antoni when he was a Knick. That didn't work out well, but I think he's a really good fit for Houston if he doesn't have to play the amount of minutes he was playing with Oklahoma City and Denver and the Knicks before that. Do you think Carmelo moves the line severely with his upcoming decision?
No. I think Carmelo, even in his prime, was vastly overrated. Let's face it, the cities that he was in, their teams actually got better when he left. So now that he's on the decline side of his career, he's going to have to prove it to me to be even worth half a point.
Steve Fezzik joins us. So we're in the super era of the super teams. And what's changed with you from a gaming perspective when you know the future's bet and what the Warriors are to win it all before the season starts, and then you individually pick spots to go with or against the Warriors, and you're looking at the rest of the league on a Tuesday night if Charlotte's playing New Orleans? You're always looking for value, but they're not value in super teams. There's only three or four of them now, Fez.
Yeah, and there really is a big one, and then you've got four others. You know, one thing about Golden State, the complacency could hit hard. Let's think about last year. They win 58 games. They don't get the number one seed. Obviously, injuries to all of the big four to some extent over the course of the year slowed them down, but the message got sent, you can coast during the year. You still can win the title. And frankly, they coasted most of the first halves during the entire year. They only outscored opponents by 6.5 points per game. 5 of that 6.5 occurred in the third quarter. It's almost like they didn't show up until halftime.
Steve Fezzik's our guest. So that brings me to Kawhi Leonard and how he can move odds going forward. If he lands with the Lakers or if he becomes a rental with a really good team like the Celtics or Philadelphia, you have a hunch on what he ends up doing?
I really don't. I wish I had insider information. I can tell you that he is worth a good 4 points, 4.5 points to the line when he's healthy. Now, he wouldn't be worth as much if he went to a premium team like Boston that was already really good, but he absolutely, even if the Lakers have to mortgage their future, if he lands in L.A., that immediately goes from a 52-win team to a 56.5-win team.
It really looks like it's going to be Philadelphia and Boston in the Eastern Conference. I don't want to discount Toronto. Toronto was a one seed this past season there, but the power, there's still some pretty good teams back east. There's just not as many as the Western Conference.
Well, there's 2.5 good teams,
yeah. Yes.
And Toronto is the half. You know, we forget. Just a little while ago, Toronto was home laying 7.5 against Cleveland in games 1 and 2 in the playoffs. But the poor baby dinosaurs, they just have no bite in the playoffs. And I know LeBron going west could help them, but I really think that it's in their psyche come playoff team time. Everyone else gets better, they get worse.
Any advantage being in Vegas for NBA Summer League, being able to see these teams and take a closer look at them and the depth and maybe some of these players if they're going to make it at the next level?
Oh, I think, forget the next level. I think you can get an advantage just betting the Summer League right now. I know people specialize in it. I can tell you in the Utah Summer League, Atlanta, their head coach said, we are practicing with a 16-second shot clock, three games for Atlanta, three overs for Atlanta. There's opportunity to be made betting Summer League.
Finally, what's going on at pregame.com? What are you hot with right now that we can send the audience to you on?
Yeah, baseball, I've been just playing the derivatives, playing the first half teams with the better starting pitchers. It's been working for me tonight. I am on Baltimore for one of my plays in the first five innings, trying to keep the bullpen out of the equation.
Thank you, Fez. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, JT.
Steve Fezzik at pregame.com, pregame.com, or at Fezzik Sports. Always appreciate when we can get him on a Friday, telling you where he's leaning. He gave you Baltimore on the way out, and if you want to see his other picks, go to pregame.com. Very interesting. He thinks Carmelo's overrated, and I respect his opinion. I don't. I think that Carmelo went down an interesting road in his career. He went for the money. He came into the league with Denver. Denver was pretty good. Denver at the George Karl era at the end didn't want him anymore. He signs with the Knicks on a superstar blockbuster deal. He put butts in seats. The Knicks stink. They had no help around him for the whole time. So he was never going to win. He's going to be productive, but he's never going to win. And then Carmelo Anthony finally figured out maybe if he went west to Oklahoma City, he could start something there. And he no longer can be the Carmelo Anthony that we expected, a guy who can dominate a game any night of the week. But what's wrong with coming off the bench? We don't talk about this enough in sports. We don't talk about the aging legend being a backup. Brett Favre doesn't want to hold the clipboard. Dan Marino doesn't want to hold the clipboard. They want to play right to the end of their career when their knees are broke like Joe Namath. They can barely stand up. And then, hey, we don't want to be backups. We'll retire. Well, Tony Parker going to Charlotte. Carmelo going maybe to Houston. Andre Iguodala going to the Warriors saying, I'll take a lesser role, but I'll be a part of a great team. I think we should be talking more about this in sports, even at the youth level. You look at a little league team or a high school basketball team, you only got one superstar that can play Division I, maybe two in this town when you talk about the elite schools and baseball and football and all that. But teams are put together with role players, backups, guys who can step up when someone goes down and gets injured. But we don't do that on sports radio. We just care about how much money you make, where were you drafted, what round, and can you make it to the Hall of Fame or not? Now, often I talk to people about, well, he's not a Hall of Famer. And I go, who cares? The guy was the best player in the history of his state in high school. He was the best. He won a Heisman Trophy. Who cares if he's playing on Sunday? Tim Tebow can walk into any room the rest of his life as an iconic legend. So he didn't make it in the NFL. Who cares? We're not judged by that. You're judged by how you live your life. Are you a sportsman? Do you care about sportsmanship? Did you help people along the way? Not anymore. It's just, how do I get to a super team? Ooh, I might have to take $5.3 million in the veteran exemption to go play on a super team. All right. It's tragic. Again, there's something about what Charles Barkley said about that he would never have played for a super team. Barkley, no doubt about it, made it clear. And to me, this has a lot to do with different eras of legends.
I'd rather not win than be on a super team.
It doesn't matter what option you are. Sports are about competition. I admire Patrick Ewing for trying to bring a championship to New York. I admire Reggie Miller for trying to bring a championship. You know, I admire Michael Jordan for not leaving when they got beat by the Pistons every year.
It's a really good soundbite for Charles, a guy who loves Vegas. You know, you got to admire that. And how are the next generation of kids going to understand this? Right? Isn't that an important point? You know, Barkley, to some kids, and they never saw him play. No idea what he was. They see him on TNT. And they see a bad golf swing. And they think he's funny because he's on PTI. But they don't remember him as a player. So 25 years from now, kids who aren't born right now, when they're 17 or 18, and they're going to look around and say, whoa, that Warrior era, that was great. That's the greatest team of all time. You're going to say, no. There's a team in the 50s called the Celtics. And in the 60s, with Cousy and Havlicek and Red Auerbach. And then there was a team with Magic Johnson with the Lakers in the 80s and Bird with the Celtics. And people are just going to forget. They're going to be in history books. You're going to have to Google. You're going to have to Google the 80s and the 90s because we're going to forget about it. We're in the era from here on out of enormous salaries that aren't probably going backwards. But I think the NBA is getting a little sharper with that. They're not going to pay the Dwight Howard money anymore to guys who are centers just because they're big. And we're in the ring-chasing wheelhouse right now. And again, I don't know where you stand on the ring chase, but I'd love to hear it at 876-1340. Also, we got about 20 more minutes left to give away those Marshawn Lynch tickets for tonight. He's having a party at Chateau on the Strip at Paris. It's right there. It's a nightclub. We'll get you on the list if you give us a call at 876-1340. If you got a phone call, drop it in on that, and we'll keep that going. Good weekend. I'm leaving tomorrow morning to go to Lake Tahoe for 3 days. I'm going to be the MC of the Gene Upshaw Memorial Golf Classic, one of the most impactful NFL players of all time. He was head of the union post-career, and he was a Hall of Famer, Gold Jacket offensive lineman for the Raiders. He passed away a number of years ago, but he has a cancer hospital in Lake Tahoe named after him. And we're going to raise a lot of money this weekend with some of the biggest A-list celebrities up in Tahoe. And it's nice to see an event that's going on for a person who passed away that still has the backing of the NFL and the legends in the Hall of Famers who know how important that his legacy is. So I'm proud to be a part of that. I'll be off Monday, back on Tuesday up in Lake Tahoe for the weekend. 876-1340. Twitter might be easier, at JT the Brick. And thanks to Eric Musselman for jumping on with us, as he just tweeted out. He appreciates coming on to talk hoops. Always fun to do that. Clipper Darryl will join us next. Stick around for this. He's a super fan, but his super fandom is connected to the Clippers. Could he be wavering and wanting to give up his fandom with the clip joint and go to LeBron for 4 years? And can you do that in this day and age anymore? Clipper Darryl on deck. You're listening to Fox.
Shoot the three ball.
Bingo.
His shots tend to go in enough, don't they?
Also, they do. He is just having a spectacular season.
Oh, gotta like Ralph. A little Chris Paul there in the background. JT, back with you on Fox Sports Radio. Clipper Darryl, the super fan, joins us on Fox Sports Radio. My friend, you made some news when you joked about leaving your team to go to the Lakers. Did you think it would get that much coverage? Everybody was talking about it.
You know, I did not know it was gonna go like that. You know, I knew people would talk about it, but it went crazy, man. I was the number one trending topic on Twitter, so I was like, wow.
That's good. I mean, that shows how big of a fan you are and how you can move the needle. And let's talk about what it's been like coming to grips with LeBron coming to LA, to the building that your team shares with the Lakers.
Oh man, it's bananas out here, man. When I was I was at the Drew League, and that's when I found out. And it was crazy because everybody in the Drew League was looking for me because I had a LeBron jersey on. So, but it was the Clippers, and it had LeBron James on the back. So everybody was looking for me, man. And when that news broke, it was like everybody was in my face, and they was going at it. They were like laughing, and you know, it was, you know, but it was all in fun though. It wasn't you know, derogatory at all.
Clipper Darryl is our guest, Fox Sports Radio. It's interesting to me because I have a lot of respect for Steve Ballmer, and I believe a lot of owners who are worth $20, $30, $50 billion really have the ability to move the needle. And he bought the team, and people think he overpaid for it, but in essence, he didn't. A new arena coming online. Why can't the Clippers do a better job at securing free agents or making trades?
Because I just feel like, you know, the stigma of the past, it goes into the future. But with Glenn Rivers being the head coach and the president, didn't help us none anyway. Didn't help us none at all. So it's like now he brought in Dre West, so now we have to start all over from fresh with new guys and he's going to start from the U. So I see from like now I can see the future of it. But I mean I've been upset, man. It's been because we had a chance to take over L.A. I mean, get a little thing in L.A. And these 6 years, we couldn't even do it. We couldn't even do anything. I mean, we had we had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre, and we can't do anything. Now, everybody want to say injuries. I don't worry about injuries. You know what I'm saying? But just to get to that promised land, he let a lot of players go that shouldn't have been let go. That's how I feel about it.
Clipper Darryl's our guest. I think it's interesting because the Clippers did make a run with DeAndre and Blake and especially Chris Paul, and those are some really good teams. And again, we're talking about a super era team with the Warriors. San Antonio was really great back in that era you were talking about, but you nailed it. You had a window as Kobe, I thought, was stealing money from the Lakers, and the Lakers were not competitive on the basketball court to keep the brand going. You have to be optimistic, Darryl, that you can possibly get Kawhi. Reports are he wants to go to L.A., and not just the Lakers, possibly the Clippers. He's the guy you got to go after, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. But, I mean, are they just using the Clippers' name to get to for them to trade? I mean, you never know, man, because Kawhi is not talking. Until I hear it from Kawhi himself, I'm not gonna, you know, speculate, man, that he wants to be a Clipper, man, because I'm looking at it as we're not built to win a championship this season. If you look at our team, you know, we're built to make the playoffs. We're built to have a fun season, but can we win a championship? I honestly don't feel it right now. But you know, hey, you know, with Jerry West, you know, that's my trust right now. I don't trust anybody else but Jerry to make this team a better team, because when Jerry was over there with the Warriors and what he did with the Warriors with their draft picks, and we was beating them all the way up until 2014, 2015. Warriors just took off.
Wrapping up with Clipper Darryl, what does it mean for you to be a super fan? I love super fans. I'm a super fan behind the microphone. I care more about my fandom and my teams than I do my radio shows. It's about my DNA with my teams. You've been one of those guys who built the name out of it, but that means you're on call 24/7. People expect you to be jacked up about the Clippers every time they run into you, right?
Oh yeah, most definitely, man. But I just tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? I have sad moments. I have upset moments. You know, and you know, with Glenn Rivers at the scene, you know, when he didn't want to give away Austin Rivers for Carmelo that time, I was like, wow, this is crazy, man. You already gave your son $35 million. Everybody knew his son didn't deserve $35 million. But hey, anybody would pay their son. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good they were. So you paid him. Now it's time to trade him and let's get Carmelo. But you know, that was never done. But being a super fan, man, to have to, you know, to say this, man, to be loyal to one team, man, it feels good, man. To be known, to be understood, and to have the passion for the team. And that's why I did the joke, because I was creating a new show, a new segment on my show that I do every Saturday, to where, you know, it's called Loyal to the Soil, where fans could come on and talk about their fandom of their team. It's a lot of fans out here that get disrespected because they cheer for the Charlotte Hornets or they cheer for the Sacramento Kings, you know, and they get a lot of beef. And I'm trying to stop the beef of you know, internet trolls that mm-hmm. always want to, you know, why can't we agree to disagree without you calling me a name?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what the new show is about.
Good for you, man. All the best. We'll tweet out anything you put out there. Thanks for making time for us. And, yeah, you got everybody nervous there with the clip joint, man. They want to keep you there. So we'll have fun talking about LeBron over the years. And good luck getting your Clippers back to the top. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, man. Loyal to the soil, baby.
Loyal to the soil. Clipper Darryl, who made national news. He was a top trending topic when he claimed he was leaving the Clippers. And that's a rule that I have that is really important to me. And I've gotten a little bit of heat because I work for the Raiders, and people know I'm a diehard Giant fan as a kid. Well, this will be my 20th season with the Raiders. The Raiders are my priority. They are my priority because they've been great to me, and I'm an employee of the team. So I want them to win more than anything because that's what they brought to me. But it was a job that brought me in, and I think that's one of the ways you could look at your life. I talk to head coaches all the time. I talk to GMs who live and die with a certain team. Then they get fired, and they go to another team, and their families are wearing the hats, and they're working there. Your loyalty is to who you work for. Now, when you're a fan, if you don't work for a team, you should be pretty loyal to the team of your youth, you would think. But now we're living in a time where fans and young kids are following their favorite players. So you want to follow Kevin Durant from Oklahoma City, you become a Warrior fan? It's not hard to leave Oklahoma City. That team came about because they left Seattle. So Seattle goes to Oklahoma City with Durant. Durant leaves to go to the Warriors. So there's a lot of kids between the age of 10 and 15 in Oklahoma City who are Warrior fans now because Durant was their favorite player. And it brings me back to the Raiders again and what this town is going to look like in 2 years. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me, not hundreds, but at least 30, 50 people have told me, looked me in the eye, when the Raiders get here, I'm going to be a Raider fan. I said, really? I know you pretty good as a Chiefs fan. I know you as a Packer fan. They said, no, when they're here, when they commit to my town, I'm going to be a fan of the team. And that's up to you. But to me, it was easy to do it for the Golden Knights. Anybody who did not abandon ship, leave their team like I pressed you to do on this show every day. Got guys on the fence. Well, I'm a Blackhawk fan. But if the Knights win, no, no, no. You're either one or the other. And it was great to see so many fans on this show switch over their allegiance to their boyhood or girlhood hockey team and now become a diehard fan of the Vegas Golden Knights. And probably the biggest heat at JT the Brick on Facebook that I got recently was when I put up a post that said congratulations to the Knights, blah, 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 and their diehard fans. Oh, you should see the responses. Diehard fans. Who are you kidding? They've been there 1 year. They don't know what losing's about. Yeah, there's some truth to that. They don't know what losing's all about, but you are diehard fans because you paid the price, you bought season tickets, and you put your head down and went into that building and were there at every game supporting the team. Tremendous job to the fans of the Vegas Golden Knights. When we come back, we'll wrap up the week. NBA Summer League is underway. Bigger crowds than I ever remember for the first day, ever. I went into Cox Pavilion, packed. Went back into the Thomas and Mack. Really nice crowd that's filling up now as it's on ESPN. And it should be fun. Pick and choose your spots to go out there. Go every day. Find tickets. You'll have a great time at the NBA Summer League. JT the Brick Show. This is Fox.
Here now, it's his turn now. Hopefully he can, which he will. He'll take this his franchise back to its prominence, man. So I'm excited. I mean, I bleed purple and gold, and since I was like 3 years old. You know what I mean? It cuts real deep with me, man. So I'm really excited.
Kobe, who was on Fox Sports Radio earlier in the week, and again, I am just thrilled at what's going on. This has been the summer of LeBron, which is great for sports talk radio. There's always a rough time. There's a slow time in sports radio. I never buy into that. I think it's pretty easy to find a couple of compelling topics and go, but it gets slow before football season. Again, another year where we did not have a dead zone. Remember last year, there was a lot of Kaepernick going on, right? There was a lot of NFL, the election, the president. It never stopped. It was insanity. And this year will be known as the summer of LeBron, and LeBron taking his talents to Los Angeles, where he hasn't signed the deal yet, so they haven't been able to sell the Laker jerseys. I'm going to get into that a little bit later on tonight with Looney when he joins. See, they have a backlog of Laker jerseys that are willing to be sold, but LeBron has got a sign on the dotted line. And that's what this is about, the era of the super team, which is the New England Patriots, which is a bigger super team than the Warriors, because at least the Warriors have some type of competition, don't they? The Warriors have the competition of San Antonio. They have the competition of James Harden in Houston, which had the Warriors beat, I thought, until Chris Paul got hurt. But the Patriots have no competition. The Patriots waltz to the playoffs, waltz to a bye week. You know, when the Warriors make the playoffs, they'll play the 7 or 8 seed, but they don't get a bye week. They don't get a week off. The Patriots get to the postseason, and they get a week off and then a home game. And then after they win that home game, they're 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. That's a super team. That's the definition of what a super team is. In baseball, the Yankees have the payroll to be a super team, but they're not better than the Astros. And the Dodgers should be a super team, but they can't distance themselves from anybody. So it's tough to do what the Warriors are doing. I'm looking forward to getting out and seeing some of the brass of the Warriors as they're here for NBA Summer League, which will be a tremendous amount of fun. Remember, happy hour starts right now at PT's. There are close to 60 taverns right here from 5 to 7 if you're getting off of work late or you want to pick me up, get going after dark, midnight to 2 at all the PT's here in the Valley. Off again on Monday for the Gene Upshaw Memorial Golf Classic. Back on Tuesday, we have NBA shows next week. I'll be live from the Thomas and Mack Thursday and Friday of next week, hosting the local show and the national show. We'll be there from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Thomas and Mack. Please come by and say hello if you're going to be there. If you did win and called in for the Marshawn Lynch party tickets, we'll be getting back to you tonight, as the party is tonight. In a few minutes, that's at Chateau at Paris on the Strip. Go out there and support Beast Mode. It'll be a really good time. Have a great time out there. Thanks to Bobby, who put the whole show together all week long, puts up with me, puts up with air conditioning issues or this or that. But we are now loose. Hey, it's hotter in L.A. than it is in here. So it is. It's hotter in L.A. That's coming here, by the way. The 110 in L.A. is coming here in the next couple of days, which turns it into a blow dryer. Good luck with that. I'll be up in Tahoe looking forward to coming back with Big Show starting Tuesday. Again, if you miss any portion of the show, lvsportsnetwork.com has it. I'm on Twitter at JT The Brick, and I am on Facebook at JT The Brick. Thanks to Eric Musselman, head coach of Nevada, Clipper Darrell, who checked in, and the only two-time winner of the Super Contest, Steve Fezzik. Looney joins me in 5 minutes. Thanks for listening all week to Fox.